Senior Focus. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. And welcome, everyone. Nō mai, haere mai. And today we are welcoming as our guest Karen Vernon, who was the founder and the chief executive of Generations Connect New Zealand. And I'm delighted to have Karen with us because it's a very important strategic time for their organisation. And as we are planning ahead too, there are lots of parallels and overlaps. So I'd like to know more about the mission of Generations Connect, but you can fill me in as to where you began it and how you began it, why you began it.
Sure. Kia ora, Anne-Marie. Thanks for having me back. I love having a chat with you about this extremely passionate thing I've got about intergenerational connection. So I founded Generations Connect back in 2023 now, which doesn't seem so ages ago, really to sort of help to foster intergenerational connections in our communities, something that we already do, but just to see how we can, I suppose, bring it more to light. I, as you said, am a primary school teacher as my trade, and so I've always had this passion about building inclusive relationships. And so I think the biggest thing for us is since 2023 when I started this, there's really been a rising global movement on how important social connection is. And I think across generations especially, that's something that we could really benefit from in a greater way. And we are proudly volunteer run. We are very small, but we are starting to make some really nice, I suppose, developments in this space. Generations Connect's main mission is really to promote, create and support intergenerational connections across communities in Aotearoa. And we really believe in the power of shared stories and experiences and building those relationships to really help well-being, belonging and understanding. I suppose the vision is to move more from those sort of incidental one-on-one moments that we know happen quite regularly, but really to sustain some real community-led initiatives across the motu that we can, you know, we're really passionate about utilising what's already there, the existing groups and environments, as much as possible. So how we can support and help foster those connections within those already existing frameworks is something that, you know, as an organisation, we're really looking to build on sort of moving forward now.
Of the whole thing, so it's not something extra that gets tacked on, but it's part of the normal everyday way people go about planning activities. They incorporate intergenerational thinking in their practice.
Yeah, I think what we have a really good opportunity. I mean, I think it all comes back, I suppose, to cost and funding. You know, that's always a real breaker when you want to start something new. But within our communities, we have lots of existing groups that happen. We have a lot of play groups and school environments and getting together to play games or sports or crafts. And unfortunately, sometimes they tend to become age segregated because we have these preconceptions that this is for this age group or whatever. And I suppose it's trying to get people to look broader than that, that actually if you enjoy doing this, anyone can participate, and how can we foster that more? So I sort of, one of the things I normally talk about is playgroups. You know, we have children's playgroups in our communities all the time, and we normally have sort of older people meeting for coffees and chats or crafts or some things in another time in a community space. Wouldn't it be great if we kept those things going? Well, you don't want to change those, but on another day we had an intergenerational play group where we bring those two groups together and let them experience that time. So it really is about trying to look what's happening and think outside the box and think how can we create more opportunities and different opportunities. I think that's the real key. It's not a one size fits all. We want to have as many different ways that people connect so that it's some way is the right way for one person or another.
It's variety and diversity in the connections that we're looking for, yes. We are doing the same with seniors, because seniors often get age segregated just as much as young children get age segregated.
Yes, it's really important to try it, and that's, I suppose, the whole ageism, you know, issue that we have in our society, is that we, unbeknown to us, because it's so ingrained in some ways, we are very ageist in lots of different ways. So how do we try to break those already preconceived conceptions or that are inbuilt in us from an early age? It's interesting when you get young children together with any age group, they don't have that. So we do build that into our societal decisions that we make, unfortunately, that does lead us to then, without thinking, make those ageist assumptions.
And sometimes it's about perceived safety, sometimes it's about perceived risk, and I think sometimes that need to have control to prevent this, that, these and those happening is fear-based thinking, and it's often you have to dismantle this to get people to actually see, well, actually, why can't you just have these generations together? There's no real reason why you can't. You might have to do police checks in some situations. I don't say they're not necessary, but to just say we can't do it because we don't want to do that, we don't want to go to all the trouble of police checking, I think that's really negative, but that does happen.
Yeah, and I think you're right. We have developed a society that is very adverse to risk. You know, think back, you know, even my childhood, you know, you just did things, and there was your own personal risk that you took. And, you know, I suppose things have happened throughout our history that have made people more wary, and I completely understand that. But I also agree that, yeah, sometimes we put too much emphasis on, well, what if this happens? I think there's always, you're never going to, no matter what checks you do, ever eliminate a certain amount of risk. I suppose it's the best way is to have it planned out as best, as much as possible. Interestingly, I did contact the police about police checks when I was, we're looking at our pilot that we were running, and said we didn't need them. So,
well, I was going to actually...
It's all open to interpretation, which is what is the frustrating thing, because if you have a group of individuals in a public space, you don't police check everybody because they're in a public space. So, and I think there's risks to all groups, not just from a child perspective, but also from an older adult's perspective as well, you know. But as I said, our society is very risk-focused now, and they are... Well, it does, you know, make challenges when we're trying to sort of, I suppose, foster these kind of engagements. But I think everything is able to be worked through if you are open to it being worked through.
Yes, and on that note, I'm eager to find out more about how the pilot project went. And so if you could describe what you set out to do in this project that was undertaken in Pointshev, and how it's gone and what its future looks to be like.
Yeah, sure. So we, as I said, our mission, one of our missions is create. So we don't look to run programs ourselves in that sense. We think they're better serviced by the communities to run them. But we do look to create how the programs could look and the opportunities. So we decided to run a prototype pilot at a primary school in Point Chevalier. Our umbrella for the initiative is called Tūhunga Tangata, Connecting People Across Generations and Communities. And it was about bringing older adults in the community into the school setting once a week to basically hang out and have fun. So the first prototype, as you said, it runs in a Point Chev school, and we bring them older adults from the community and the local Selwyn village there once a week at lunchtime, and the children come, and it's like a lunchtime club. And the group, when they first got together, they named themselves, because we want every group to have a personal name. We don't want to say that it's called this. So they call themselves the Wise and Wonder Crew, and they're very proud of that name. And basically, they come at lunchtime, the children come at lunchtime, They just choose the activities they want to do. We have arts and crafts and, you know, and creative activities as well as physical games. They can sit and just choose and read a book with each other if they want to. One of the most popular things, which is a couple of the most popular things, are probably the strangest. One is hitting balloons around the room with pool noodles, which is extremely popular with both generations, and also passing pom-poms around on spoons in a circle. But they basically just have fun. It's really supporting their all well-being and empathy and belonging for both age groups. And we found, we ran it for 2 terms last year, and the school is continuing this year, which is really fantastic. But we found that it's just giving both groups so much more. They're able to build friendship across the age groups and get a better understanding. The whole initiative of the program is really to be designed to be flexible. The same principles can be applied to any setting, like early childhood, libraries, community hubs, or even within an aged care home. And we're hoping that this prototype is a way of us laying some groundwork about how we can plan and co-design and develop it to really make it that truly adaptable model and sustain it, I suppose, across all those different communities. So it's a really exciting, I suppose, first step into something a little bit bigger. So how we're wanting it, as I said, the school's going to carry on this year, which is really positive. So we'll have a whole year of running it there. But I suppose we're really looking now to see how we can apply it to different communities in different ways, or within a library setting or in a community centre setting, or in different age groups of schooling, from a high school to early childhood. It's exciting moving forward, and we've got some really, I suppose, positive feedback. All the older adults are keen to get it going again and be back, and we did it with 7-year-olds last year, and we'll carry with that age group, but we're going to look at expanding it to older and younger within the school setting as well, just because obviously different age groups bring different, I suppose, challenges or things we need to make sure that we'll work on that broader scale.
Yeah, that's really exciting. I mean, especially exciting that it's been taken up by the school with such support and enthusiasm, and that it's spreading to different age groups within the school community. That's really exciting.
Yeah.
I'm also aware that you're going to Sydney next week to speak at a very important gathering, and I wondered if you can tell us more about that and how that sits within the framework of your planning for this year for yourself. So what are you hoping to get out of your presentation that you're making there?
Yeah, so I'm heading to Sydney on the 19th of February to attend the Australian Institute of Intergenerational Practice, or AIIP's yearly conference. Now, I've built a really close working relationship with AIIP over the last couple of years. They were incredibly, and are currently still incredibly supportive of the work I'm doing here in Aotearoa. And I have attended their last 2 conferences online, so it's really exciting that this year I get to go in person. And it's really a fantastic opportunity for me to personally connect with some people that I have dealt a lot with sort of from a distance, and really learn from others in the field that are, you know, from a research, from a practitioner base that's happening sort of in Australia. AIIP has been around a few years longer than us, and they've got a really strong network and body of practice that I think is really important for the development of these initiatives in New Zealand. I'm going to give a very short presentation with my colleagues in Australia on Global Intergenerational Week this year. Our two organisations are working together to mark it in 2026. So I'm going to sort of share in their forum just what that looks like and what we're going to be doing. So it's really exciting from my perspective, and for Generations Connect's perspective, it's really a really good way for us to, I suppose, foster those connections between the two organisations even more, but more importantly, to learn and to grow that intergenerational connection practice ideas across the countries, I suppose.
Yes, I'm sure it is. And of course, the two societies do have some similarities compared with, say, organisations that are counterparts in the Northern Hemisphere. And you might like to comment on that.
Yeah. So the AIP was set up by Annika Fitzgerald, who is a lecturer or was at Griffith University and Emeritus Professor there, and she very much set it up from initially connecting the research to the practitioners base. So, you know, she has a research background and they have a lot of connections within that, because Griffith University is still very involved within it as a supplier of that information. But she has grown an incredible organisation that is really brought together across the country the practitioner side of it, so it's not and how you can develop that in a way in lots of different settings. And so I suppose that's really important from my perspective in growing it here as well. It's how, as I think we've talked about before, we know there are some wonderful programs already operating within New Zealand that bring generations together. Some of them only happen in certain areas, like in Auckland or Wellington or Christchurch, and I suppose it's how us as Generations Connect can, you know, nationally link people up to say, well, this is happening in this community, this is something that you could probably get going in yours as well. So, AIOP give us the support moving forward. They have, I suppose, trodden a lot of the steps before us, even though the country's a little bit different, but they've navigated some of those challenges. So that's why they've been so supportive of us as an organisation growing the space here.
In terms of the Global Week that you referred to, I mean, last year when you came in as a guest, we talked about the Global Week, and it was the first time that it ran in New Zealand, and I think it was actually quite well received in terms of being new. It was taken by surprise. People were taken a bit by surprise, but I think there was a lot of positives came out of it. How is that view translating into what you're doing for this time, for this week,
yeah,
this
I
year?
Yeah, it's actually the third year we've been involved. I think when I came in last year, it was the first year we'd done it by ourselves. But when I first started the organisation, I did do very briefly the Global Week then, but it was more just sharing on social media. So we didn't really do anything. So this is probably the second year of actually doing something, but the third year being involved. And, yeah, it is a global campaign. It's led by Generations Working Together in Scotland, and I think this year they have 14 countries sort of signed up to be country leads and involved in sharing it across the world. I suppose this year we're having a Southern Hemisphere launch on the 4th of February at 4 p.m, which, you know, I'm going to probably go into a lot more detail about what's happening, but which your listeners would love to sort of come along and listen to. But I suppose the biggest thing for us this year is how to have some different activities happening. I have got some early talks for an event possibly that we're going to run, and I can't say too much about that at the moment because it's not finalised, but an in-person event where people can come along. Unfortunately, it's only going to be based in Auckland, but, you know, those kind of things are growing momentum, which is really exciting to see. I'd like to take, from our perspective, a little bit away from, at the moment, it very much runs on a whole, facilitator research-based delivery. There's a lot of webinars you can go to from that angle, but for me personally, I really want to take it back to how can we get more people to interact. So I do have a little idea that is brewing, which I could share with you now from New Zealand perspective. We're looking at Generations Connect to have an online bingo with a twist game that people can join up, come and play bingo. It's got a little bit of a twist with it, just for connection, no prizes, just for fun. And we're hoping that could be something that's actually a regular thing that we run, that just allows people to hop online, have a quick game of bingo for fun, and as I said, it has a little bit of a twist. And just sort of trying to facilitate in a different way. So that's something that's exciting, that if we trial it a bit before the Global Week, that we'd definitely have running within that Global Week as well. But, you know, if your listeners would like to learn more about it, then, you know, we have a Facebook event page that they could go to and then get the link to register.
So what's the title for that Facebook page?
Well, you can get it from the Generations Connect Facebook page. If you go to that, you'll then be able to follow along there as well for any updates, but also it should have the event link on there, so you should be able to click on that and get to it. And if anyone's interested in what we do as a bigger picture, obviously following us on Facebook, Instagram or LinkedIn, or with just putting in Generations Connect New Zealand is a good way to do it, or visiting our website, which is www.genconnectnz.com.
Very good. I'm actually thinking that I can see possibilities in libraries, and I'm interested to see what senior focus could help with in terms of supplying seniors as volunteers, and seeing what sort of activities could be organised in the school holidays.
Yeah, absolutely. I think libraries are a great central place because they're easily accessible for, you know, everybody. And, you know, sometimes when you're trying to plan something, the logistics of being that easily accessible isn't already there. But for libraries, that should have already been taken care of. So, yeah, I think there's definitely scope. It's having a range of things, I think, that's really important. It's trying to tap in. I see a lot of posts from libraries of some really cool events that look not necessarily more targeted to a particular age demographic, but they tend to be people with from a particular age demographic tend to go along more than others, both ends of the scale, whether it be younger or older. So I don't necessarily have the answer of how we can change that, but it's like it's being able to get people to feel comfortable to be able to go to something if they are the only person of that age there and start the ball rolling, I suppose, because it's to me it's more if you're interested in something, then the age shouldn't come into it. That should be something you should feel comfortable with being able to experience and do.
Yes, indeed. I think there are possibilities for existing groups to wet their toes in the water, so to speak, by having a session where it is intergenerational and they let everybody know that's what's going to happen for the next session. So people who are really dead against it don't have to put themselves out by participating when they don't want to.
Yeah,
but those who are able to take the small risk involved can get on with it, and maybe that it can become a feature on the program, so it happens once every so often.
Yeah, and I think that's really important. We don't want to ever take away what's existing happening. Those things need to stay. It's about creating, a flow-on opportunity from them. So you're exactly right. If you're wanting to incorporate it in the day and time of something you already run, then it needs to be clearly said to everyone, this is what we're going to do. But this is that week's session is going to be this. I do like the idea of trying to do it on a different day, but that's not always possible, so that it is a standalone thing. But yeah, there's always ways and challenges that you have to overcome, and so it's finding the way that works best for the group concerned, I suppose.
In terms of getting the message out there and promoting this more, I mean, obviously you're on social media and you are doing quite a bit of promotion on your LinkedIn page, because I see regularly postings, and during the year you've been particularly productive this year, and there's been new challenges on your page each week for people to look at, which I thought was a really good strategy.
It's all been strategy, but very good. Not going to be like that this year, but yeah, the last year's always is definitely there. But it is a challenge, I suppose, for me that I'm trying to navigate at the moment, is to try and get more people to be aware of this being something that's a positive thing for their communities. I think it's really important we look beyond the individual. The individual benefits can be huge and are huge, but from a community perspective too, there are also benefits, bringing people together, that collaboration, especially as we've seen recently when we've had so many challenges in our communities with weather and all these other things. You know, if you've got a real strong community built up of all ages, that can, to me, only benefit us down the track. So, getting that out there. I've made some good connections regarding intergenerational play with Jacqueline Collins at the council. It's a strong thing, the importance of play throughout our lives, and if we can create more opportunities for intergenerational play, that I think is a good starting point, because I'm very much, I suppose, passionate about the fun element in it. Mm. I think we do, and programs that we share knowledge is great, and we do that, but I think we actually share knowledge when we don't sometimes know that we are during fun. Perfect example, in our pilot program, we had our 7-year-olds teaching our older adults how to finger knit, which was, a bit of a role reversal, because we would have thought the older adults would have taught our children how to knit, but we actually had the reverse happening. So, which was beautiful to watch, and even some of the older adults have commented on the reflections, how nice it was to have a 7-year-old teach them how to finger knit. So, there's moments and fun that allow for natural knowledge sharing, and I think sometimes we learn stuff when we least expect it, and sometimes we learn it from the people we least expect it. So I think having that opportunity is a real special thing.
Yes, I recently watched a video on a disabled group that were learning sign language, and how exciting it got when they visited a school where the children were learning sign language, and then the children started teaching them various things about what they'd learnt from sign language and how they were using it. And then they went off and involved their grandchildren signing alongside one of the family members who had dementia. So it was very interesting to see how the husband changed. His wife had dementia, but she got involved with the children, signing with the children, and he was instrumental in creating all this happening. He had gone off to learn the sign language in the beginning. So it was very fulfilling, and he'd just become alive and very passionate about it. And he'd been quite isolated and lonely and cut off from a lot of things as his wife's dementia progressed. So this change was really dramatic.
In essence, it was
intergenerationalism at work.
Yeah. It's a pretty special thing that my eyes is it doesn't necessarily take a lot to get it to go. It's just getting, I suppose, the awareness out there of how important it is. And as I said, the social connection has become a huge thing from the World Health Organization. It's our third thing, not just our health and our well-being, it's social connection is a biggie.
It is indeed a very important thing. It's quite central, and that's what one of our messages and that we put out on our programs quite regularly. So thank you very much, Karen, for your input today. I wish you well with the presentation in Sydney, and we look forward to talking to you just before the Global Week happens.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me again, Anne-Marie. Appreciated.
Well, we'll be on air towards the end of March. Thank you very much, Karen.
Thank you.
And to our listeners, we will hope you're with us next week, and keep listening, because we've got more coming in this space.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6, or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus. And do note, Senior Focus is one word.
alone.